humans have always believed in ghosts. Well, some of us, at least. It's even in our earliest textual records. Let's take a look at some examples through time. Ooh. Hello.
So, Ivy, oh, yes. Do you believe in ghosts?
No, actually. Anyone that does this is just kind of stupid, actually.
It's kind of silly, really.
Who even believes in that anymore? Not us. Definitely.
Just kidding.
Heavy sarcasm for new listeners. Hello, and welcome back to Odd Anthropology. Emphasis on the odd for this episode. I am your co-host, Ivy.
And I am Tayshia.
And for this month's episode, I will be covering a topic that we've been dying to do more in full. And the topic is ghosts. Just simply ghosts. That's the topic. And sorry for the delay in this episode's release, but it is still coming out. We say one episode a month, and it is still December, but it's the holidays, so we are busy. Tayshia is a mom, so she's extra, extra busy. I'm a student, so I had finals.
I was going to say, Ivy is acing her finals and finishing her fall semester with all A's.
Yeah, I did. I did officially. The last of the grading came in all A's again. I have the dead brain to prove it. But now we are ready to relax and yap and chat while I word vomit info dump on ghosts throughout time. Sounds great.
Yay!
We have dabbled in ghosts in previous episodes briefly. In the episode that I did on Toland Man, I talked about the practices of hobbling a ghost, so you can check that out. We brought it up in Tayshia's Bigfoot episode. I think some people think that Bigfoot's a ghost, so I mean, why not?
Is Bigfoot a ghost?
Is Bigfoot a ghost? I don't know. Oh, wait, no, because ghosts aren't real. Sorry. Ghosts aren't real, so. But I feel like it's time to really get into it, especially considering that this episode is coming to you in December. Winter is here, and winter being a, not to be depressing, but a season of death is also a season of ghosts. It was for most of human history, typically, especially in regions that experience a cold winter. It's the hardest season to usually survive. I touched down on this in the Salem Witch Trials episode, you know, a bad crop harvest or running out of firewood could signal a deathly winter season to come, alongside the spread of sickness and what have you. And so to keep spirits high, no pun intended, during a harsh long winter, families and neighbors would often gather and tell stories, which could be ghost stories and often were ghost stories. And so by choosing this topic, we are continuing with this long-held winter tradition. In most belief systems, a ghost is some form of us, like a remnant of our soul, our energy, consciousness, living memories, what have you, insert terminology that you prefer. We first begin to see evidence of this in the prevalence of, sorry, for some reason my brain was just like, is that even a word? Yeah, it's a word. Prevalence, that's...
Final brain.
Remember when I just said that I have a dead brain from doing finals? My brain is goo, and here we go. We're off to a really good start. I'm a student. I'm really smart. The prevalence of intentionally burying the dead with meaning. This is kind of where we can first look back and look for a little glimpse of a ghost in human history. And this is seen as far back as Homo sapiens and Neanderthals. Which is, Tayshia's like, yeah, give me those.
That's one that I've thought about doing a topic on is like Neanderthal burials and things like that.
Please. You were just telling me before we started recording you needed a subject for your next episode. Here we go.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to write that down.
Yep. Because, you know, Homo sapiens and Neanderthals, so... This is like early human beginnings. Don't ask me to throw out numbers right now. My brain can't handle numbers. Who were designating burial grounds, often deep in caves, and over time, as we evolved, we started to bury the dead with objects, which really signified that, you know, we might be doing so out of suspicion that, what if this person isn't really gone? What if they are somewhere else? And what if they need these tools and objects that they used in life wherever they've gone to? We can't say that for sure, what exactly the motives behind the earliest examples of grave goods always were, which I do want to say was like 50,000-ish years ago. Please fact check me on that, someone. But as we reach our first known civilization, ancient Mesopotamia, is when we finally get some concrete answers to a belief in ghosts. This is the first time we have textual evidence of it. Here, it is present in clay tablets that have been discovered by archaeologists. The ancient Mesopotamians' belief was that humans were intentionally designed with a part of us which survives in death. They had their own names for it. Other belief systems have very similar ideas and their own names for it. But today, and for the sake of this episode, we can usually just refer to this surviving part of us in death as the ghost. Real quick shout out to Dr. Irving Finkel, who is exactly who I want to be when I grow up. He has been the one to discover some of this evidence in the clay tablets that are at the British Museum. One of them was a fragment from an exorcist's guide on how to deal with unwanted ghosts. The example that you can kind of make out on this tablet is there was a ghost of a man and he was haunting the living because he was really lonely in the afterlife. And so to remedy this, they get him a female companion to guide him back to the afterlife. So ghosts were a pretty big deal. They had exorcist tablets even back then, just trying to figure out how to deal with them. And what usually would happen in ancient Mesopotamia is after someone passed away, they had to receive a proper burial. Very important. Because if they didn't, they have now signed up for having haunting potential from the restless ghosts until their corpse was properly attended to. And so if this occurs, if they are properly buried, their ghost, again, it moves on in peace to the underworld with the others, so long as they remain happy there. Like this lonely guy who's like, wait, I don't want to be here by myself. And so he's haunting until he gets a girlfriend, I guess. but other things that could upset them other than issues like that or not having received a proper burial is that per their beliefs, which were very family oriented as far as ancestors goes, the ghost maintains certain needs that are required of their once living form. So food, drink, and even just attention. So not only do you need to properly bury the dead, but you have to keep caring for them in spirit. And if this care stops, if you're not giving them, you know, these libations or offerings and praise, you are at further risk of haunting potential. Very important, everybody, write this down. This version of the ghost and their hauntings helped to explain misfortune and mysterious events around them. This is a reoccurring theme on the podcast. Humans trying to elucidate this strange world we live in. If sickness fell upon you, if your meat spoiled, or anything really bad or annoying happens, maybe you have displeased a ancestor spirit, or maybe there's some other unhappy spirit that has, for whatever reason, decided to take out their feelings on you, and it's time to maybe go give some offerings and some praise. And what is so utterly fascinating to me is that a lot of this is still really applicable to a lot of belief systems, not just throughout time, but even today. A lot of religions still hold annual celebrations for the dead. People have shrines for the dead in their homes. We tend not to be so, we have to do this or they're gonna haunt us. But this reverence for the dead still remains thousands of years later. And I'm a little bit irked Oh my God, at the beginning of the episode, we were joking, like, who believes in ghosts? That's stupid. What kind of bothers me is that religion tends to be respected. It tends to be taken seriously. You tell someone, I'm, insert this religion, and people are like, great. But then a belief in ghosts is usually laughed at. So we're crazy for believing in ghosts. And I'm like, you know what? This belief is as old as religion, if not maybe older than actual organized religions came about. So, I mean, you can pry this belief from our cold, dead hands or not, because then we could haunt you. So,
our cold, ghostly hands.
Yeah, my cold, ghostly hands. So as much as I'd love to keep talking about ancient Mesopotamian ghosts, there are so many other cool examples through time that I would love to share. And one of them comes to us from ancient Rome, so near Mesopotamia. Which I think Mesopotamia was like a province of Rome or something like that. Math is not my strong suit, and geography is not my strong suit. But there is this really interesting letter from a Roman. He was like an administrator. He was a writer. He was all sorts of things. And he was also a ponderer of ghosts. And his name is Pliny the Younger, who was a son of Pliny. I've heard it both.
I've heard it both as well.
Pliny. I'm going to say Pliny. I feel like I listened to a podcast a while back and some British person was saying Pliny. And I was like, it sounds better when they say it like that. But his father was Pliny the Elder. This is Pliny the Younger we're talking about. And in the first century AD, he writes this letter to another, it was a Roman senator. And Pliny begins the letter with the following, and I quote, "The present recess from business we are now enjoying affords you leisure to give and me to receive instruction. I am extremely desirous, therefore, to know whether you believe in the existence of ghosts, and that they have a real form and are a sort of divinities, or only the visionary impressions of a terrified imagination." I mean, the verbiage alone here, whoever's translating this, 10 out of 10, great job. Terrified imagination, good podcast idea. trademark that. Wait, no one take it. And he goes on to recount in this letter some of the ghost stories that he's heard, including one which I need to share because I love it so much, and it goes as follows. "In the dead of the night, a noise resembling the clashing of iron was frequently heard, which, if you listened more attentively, sounded like the rattling of chains, distant at first, but approaching nearer by degrees. Immediately afterwards, a specter appeared in the form of an old man of extremely emaciated and squalid appearance," it's kind of rude, "with a long beard and disheveled hair, rattling the chains on his feet and hands. The distressed occupants, meanwhile, passed their wakeful nights under the most dreadful terrors imaginable. This, as it broke their rest, ruined their health and brought on distempers. Their terror grew upon them, and death ensued. Even in the daytime, though the spirit did not appear, yet the impression remained so strong upon their imaginations that it still seemed before their eyes and kept them in perpetual alarm. Consequently, the house was at length deserted as being deemed absolutely uninhabitable, so that it was now entirely abandoned to the ghost. However, in hopes that some tenant might be found who was ignorant of this very alarming circumstance, a bill was put up giving notice that it was either to be let or sold." Sorry for the very long story. It does going to continue a little bit. But Pliny, recounting that a philosopher, Athenodorus, also not sure if I pronounced that man's wrong, I'm so sorry, purchased the home and encounters this spirit, who he observes, "The ghost slowly stalked along as if encumbered with its chains and, turning into the area of the house, suddenly vanished. He began, thus deserted, made a mark with some grass and leaves in the spot where the spirit left him. The next day, he gave information to the magistrates and advised them to order that spot be dug up. This was accordingly done, and the skeleton of a man in chains was found there, for the body, having lain a considerable time in the ground, was putrefied and moldered away from the fetters. The bones being collected together were publicly buried, and thus, after the ghost was appeased by the proper ceremonies, the house was haunted no more. So even here, direct reflection or evolution from these ancient Mesopotamia ghosts. Like, you got to give people proper burial, which was a fun connection to see. But I'm also like, okay, so this guy that buys this haunted house, he literally does a little ghost hunt. He's like, wait. He's like, I'm gonna watch this ghost, and he's following it, and it leads him to a spot, vanishes, and he's like, okay, well, maybe he was buried here. And then he solves it. He ghost busts it, which is really cool. But now I want to jump forward to Europe in the Middle Ages. We're hopping in a time machine. Yep. Here we go. Wow. We're in the Middle Ages in Europe, which lasted from about the 5th to 15th centuries-ish. By now, Christianity had kind of started taking over. The church had a lot of power, a lot of influence, and this included how it influenced a belief in ghosts, or a lack thereof, because such a belief was too closely tied to those darn pagan Roman predecessors. So the church wanted to distance themselves from the ghosts. They were like, hey, like, we're like much smarter than that now. Who believes in that? And because it also, the ghost just didn't really fit in with their version of what happens to the soul after we die, which is that God was in control. And this can be summarized as you either go up or you go down. You know, you die, and are you going to heaven or hell? And because of this, any sort of otherworldly apparition that you might see was probably actually a demon in disguise. Perhaps they've made themselves look like one of your dead loved ones, and by tricking you into thinking that they're a ghost, they're also tricking you into questioning the power of God, who, if these ghosts are able to wander among us, that means that he didn't have complete control of the soul and wasn't doing what they had thought he was doing. Eventually, they got the idea of purgatory, though. There's no mention of purgatory in the Bible, which was news to me until I was researching this recently, but the church decided, hey, we like this idea. Purgatory wasn't anything new. I think it was Plato. I mentioned Plato before we started recording. I think he was the one that came up with it, but the Christian flavor of purgatory was basically this limbo that the soul could be stuck in, unable to move on. Maybe it was God giving the soul a second chance, or maybe to learn something, get a lesson before damnation, or maybe absolving a minor sin before going to heaven, but it wasn't quite enough to go to hell. And people began to wonder, okay, well, if this purgatory that the church is now telling us is a thing, maybe ghostly apparitions are real and that they aren't always demons, but instead were sometimes these trapped souls in purgatory. And this would in part lead to the creation of All Souls Day, which was an established thing by, I think, the 13th century. And All Souls Day was a way to celebrate and honor the dead, especially those believed to be in purgatory, so that you might help them find peace or find their way to, hopefully, heaven if there's something holding them back. Fun fact, All Souls Day, Tayshia, I know you know this, would inspire a lot of Halloween stuff, or the Halloween that we know of today, which is quite pagan-y, but also a mix of Christianity that was also usually influenced by pagans and the regional beliefs, which molded together over time in that beautiful thing called religious syncretism. And anyways, getting back to the topic, the church would get kind of greedy with this whole, like, hey, ghosts aren't real. Oh, wait, actually, ghosts are. And by the way, they're your loved ones who are trapped. And if you pay us, We will have the names of your deceased loved ones prayed over, or we will sing in prayer or something to ensure that if they are trapped, that they will be released. Which wasn't the greatest thing to do. It did kind of, people eventually caught on to this and were like, wait a second. We don't know that this is real. Purgatory isn't in the Bible. And so why are you pushing this onto us? And also, if this isn't real, just maybe ghosts aren't real at all. And then you kind of get this little wave of atheism. The Enlightenment comes around. So the ghost really kind of like ebbs and flows, but it never really stays gone for long before we kind of come up with a new flavor of ghost, something to fit in with whatever is happening societally or within religious reform. And this takes me to my next and last time scale jump to the Victorians, one of my favorite eras. Tayshia, how do you feel about the Victorians?
They loved death and I love them.
Yet they loved dark, creepy things, and we love them for loving those dark, creepy things, which included ghosts. But this was also a time of major civil rights movements for multiple groups of people. And not a lot of people know that spiritualism, the spiritualist movement of the 19th century, of the Victorians, was really intertwined with the civil rights movement. And so this is kind of fun because it's like, okay, who doesn't love to talk about ghosts? But now we can talk about ghosts, but in a really meaningful, productive way. So this movement, the spiritualist movement, came about for a number of reasons. There was continued religious reform and discussions on religious matters because technology and these scientific advancements were happening, which were reshaping how we viewed the world. I mean, as has always happened throughout all of human time. And so, of course, with that comes like, okay, our understanding of the world is changing. And so things like the ghost kind of change with it. And this included what a human spirit or soul was made of. Is it this kind of energy? Could these things be tapped into? Does anything survive? And are ghosts real? And now, before I get too far into this topic, I want to note something to keep in mind. And it is that the Victorians, in this case, these are westernized societies I'm talking about. Most of my history on the Victorians is American, like European and Australia, because the spiritualist movement was very connected between these three bodies. But a lot of these Victorian views and the evolving spiritualist beliefs were often influenced by or all out appropriated from religions and belief systems out of Africa and Asia. So the white Victorians I'm going to be talking about, they couldn't have done what they did regarding civil rights without the people and the cultures that they were being inspired by. So very important to note, because the oncoming topic, TBH, can usually border on white saviorism, which is not my intention here. So I'm just here to talk about some ghosts. So the spiritualist movement of the 1800s contained primarily white women and girls who were pretty radical in their beliefs and ideas, and they were at the center of this movement. And part of this radicalization they took part in goes back to these changing views that I keep mentioning, changing views on energy and souls. And it all kind of took on this universalization, basically, where it was believed that there was some part of us, some kind of energy that is a soul, basically, that survives in death. But instead of going to heaven or hell, there was this growing idea that what if they all stayed at the same place? What if they all went to the same place? And it kind of got this togetherness. And because of this togetherness, each soul or spirit was exposed to old hidden knowledge, and they kind of became enlightened as everyone is together, as not like this one energy or this one spirit. There's still individualism in it, but everyone is together in the same afterlife, basically, is what I'm getting at. And this inspired or attracted a lot of like radical thinkers, because if we are all equal in death, does that not mean that we are all equal in life? So you'll find that a lot of people who the spiritualist movement appealed to and who quickly were the ones pushing all of this new wave of spiritualist beliefs, most of these people believed in the abolition of slavery, and they believed in women's rights, and they believed in the rights of the working class, etc., etc. And these topics would arise during the seances, which came about during the movement too, when a lot of people think of like a Victorian seance. They might just picture, you know, stage tricks and, you know, oh, the ghost of your dead mother says she loves you. But a lot of the times it was, hey, guys, and mind you, like, I'm a radical young white woman and I'm around all these men and I'm preaching messages about equality and like, hey, guys, actually, spirit says women should be allowed to vote. But it wasn't me. It's the spirits. So you had a lot of these interesting conversations coming from it. And yeah, usually these seances, again, featured a white woman or girl who was channeling this spirit or spirit realm and verbalizing what the spirits were telling her. And something else to highlight here, why it was women in particular, was this good old-fashioned misogyny, because Victorian women didn't have the most rights. Men tended to believe, it was kind of accepted because of the gender roles, that women were the ideal conduits for spirit communication, because women are quiet and submissive and they listen to men and they do as they're told. A lot of women from the time were also quote unquote uneducated. They didn't need educations because their role is in the house, serving their husband and children. And so ironically, this passive nature of the woman and of girls was to men a good thing, because they would just sit there and repeat what the spirits said and did as they were told. But again, these were, okay, big crazy announcement. Women can be wise and independent thinkers. Gasp.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, many of them were self-educated. Oh my gosh. The horrors.
Pearl clutching.
I'm clutching my pearls. And so, yeah, a lot of these spirit mediums, again, were speaking in front of these large groups of men who were just trusting everything that they said. Because, again, remember that these souls are also supposedly enlightened. Like, okay, like, we're kind of over the heaven and hell thing. We think that everyone dies and goes to the same place and they all become enlightened. And so that means they're super smart. And then if they're saying super smart things through these women, there's no way that the women came up with these things. Like, there were spirit mediums giving lectures on math and physics and stuff, because this was the first time that it was socially acceptable for women to speak publicly and be taken seriously. Granted, it sucks that they had to do it under this guise of, you know, it's the spirits. And I mean, who knows, maybe some of these women did think that this was coming from spirit. Maybe it actually was. Maybe it was their subconscious mind and they were just kind of unknowingly able to let it out for the first time ever, these thoughts that they were having. You know, preaching for, you know, hey, let's get rid of slavery. That's kind of like a weird thing we're still doing. And let's pay people better. And yeah, like, I should be able to, like, divorce my husband if he's beating me. Crazy, crazy, crazy things like that. And not all seances were like that. It wasn't also only women. There were men that were acting as these spirit mediums as well. But there was a very big civil rights push within this movement, which is just so fascinating to me. And eventually, these seances, like, there was a lot of that trickery, a lot of, like, stage sort of performance did kind of come into it over time. And you could also debate, okay, I used to kind of idolize some of these men, or not idolize, but I thought it was really cool, because you'll hear about men like Harry Houdini, who would go around, this was a bit later, during the spiritualist movement, but they would go around and try to debunk a lot of these female spirit mediums. And I used to think, yeah, go get them, go get them. And then I learned, hey, so actually for a lot of women, it was a way to actually speak. They were, a lot of them were like financially independent for the first time ever. And that also threatened a lot of men that, you know, hey, my wife is doing this, but now like she's making more money than me and she's saying all these things and wants all this crazy independence. What? It threatened these inequalities, these gender roles that they had for so long. And so I can't help but wonder how much of the negative sort of press and ideas around spirit mediumship and only wanting to focus on the frauds, how much of that was because there were people who didn't like what these women were saying. There were people pro-slavery who were like, oh, these people are saying what? Actually, hey, everybody point and look, she's a fake. So just something to think about. This is, of course, a super nuanced topic that could be like 20 episodes in and of itself. But that's my little bit of a history on ghosts, just by sharing a few examples through time and how the ghost can evolve, how they can go away and come back and go away. They never stay away for long. But also how ghosts, in a way, were kind of used to help bring about change eventually. A lot of the activism that these young female spirit mediums were doing didn't bring about any direct change necessarily, but eventually we got to vote, and eventually we got to divorce, and eventually we got to go to college. So, and some of that can be attributed to the attention being brought to it by spirit mediums of the Victorian era. Bada boom, bada bing. How do we feel, everybody? I really feel like I was just like at a million places, but that's okay.
I think it was a really good just kind of like snapshot of, you know, because like you said, we could go on about ghosts for, I mean, just focusing on each era could probably be its own episode.
Oh, absolutely. But you can kind of think of this as our jumping off point. We have finally somewhat more formally covered a ghost up until at least the beginning of the 20th century. And maybe someday we'll do like a part two, because you could talk about even how current events continue to shape the paranormal field, mm-hmm. or how the paranormal field does continue to influence current events. But yeah, that'll have to wait for another day, because my throat is done and my brain was already goo. On top of finishing up my finals, I'm a crazy person. And I was like, oh, let me sign up for a winter class. Like, I can do that. I've done summer courses, which were shorter than a normal semester. I didn't quite think at just how short a winter semester was. Basically, the entirety of a semester's work scrunched into just 1 month. So I'm having a good time again. But that's okay. That's why my brain is goo. And I hope that everyone enjoyed listening to half hour of a madman's rambling about ghosts. Tayshia, any last... Nope, last words makes it sound like you're going to die.
I'll come back as a ghost and you can interview me.
I mean I like ghosts and all, but we can wait on that. We can hold off. Pump the brakes. Any final thoughts that you want to say? We have a crazy amount of listens on Substack again.
Yeah,
it was over 20,000 or something.
That is crazy. I guess just kind of, we talked about it a bit before we came on, but what an adventure and a ride this has been. Starting this podcast, this is my first podcast. I mean, Ivy is more seasoned in the podcast field, but just the amount of fun that this has been, and the learning, and getting to share fun information with other people in the world, which is still mind-blowing.
Literally. I get scared when I see the numbers like keep going up. I'm like, that's a lot of people. Like, what if they don't like what I say?
And, you know, I'm sure that there's people out there that don't, or, you know, think that, you know, we sound silly, but you know what? I'm having fun. I hope you're having fun. And we like talking about odd things about humans. So,
I mean, that's basically it. That's us. So yep. Thank you, everybody that's listened. You've made this year really incredible for us. And mm-hmm. we will be back next year in the big 2026. And let us know future topics you want to hear about, Tayshia.
Yes, please.
Personally, I would love to hear about Neanderthal and Homo sapien burials. That's pretty cool.
I was definitely listening the whole time, but also did not maybe purchase the book that I had in my like wish list of that was specifically on Neanderthal burials that so that I could get that read for January.
I'm very excited. Thank you. I literally can't wait. I had some fun ideas. Something I've been wanting to do, and this was an idea I had when we first started the podcast. I was like, ooh, at some point, I really want to talk about like cursed burials, ancient curses, like King Tut comes to mind. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I can go on about my thoughts on King Tut's cursed tomb.
Well, you know, so, King Tut's tomb, I think it was, but it was, I think it was opened on my birthday. I mean, obviously before I was born, but.
Still. Whoa, wait. So sometimes your mic will be cursed and like it'll switch and use the wrong one. Do we think that maybe being born on that day, you have some of the curse.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh no, Tayshia, we have to do something about this. Another fun fact, the museum that I worked at for a few years, the Nelson Atkins Museum in Kansas City, had a decent section of Egyptian art, and we had some of the beads from King Tut's tomb on display. Ooh. Yeah. I think it was like a few of them, but they were there. I actually didn't know for a while. One day I was stationed to patrol that section, and I'm just like looking, perusing. And I was like, wait a second, these were King Tut's? I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. But let us know what you guys want us to cover in 2026. And thank you for listening and leaving us ratings and reviews. Those have been fun to keep up with. And we never really developed a proper sign off after like a year of doing this. I was gonna say like stay odd or something.
I feel that, like that's doesn't kind of the like standard podcast sign off of like you just stay whatever your podcast topic is, or
yeah,
like
stay and come up like every single paranormal podcast, including some of mine, it was always like stay spooky, but okay, that's going to be something we'll have to come up with. Shoot us the ideas. You can follow us on Instagram at Odd Anthropology. You can find us on Facebook. You can email us at oddanthropology@gmail.com. And all of this will be linked below in the show notes. Because I just kind of vomited from my brain, I don't have any sources per se to include in the bottom, but I'll go through and find some of like my favorite books and videos that I've devoured on this subject over the years, and everyone can check those out. Go check out my bestie, Dr. Irving Finkel, but don't tell him we're besties because he doesn't know that I exist. But he's got a lot of cool stuff about ancient ghosts. I'm reading his book on ancient ghosts right now. It's called The First Ghosts. Partially is what inspired me to do this episode. I was like, okay, fine, I'll talk about ghosts.
Twist your arm, Ivy.
I know. Oh, fine, I'll do it, okay? Yep, and finally, I think we'll stop recording this episode because my throat hurts.
All right, and happy holidays, everybody.
There we go. Happy holidays. That's how we'll sign off this one. Have a good new year, whatever.
Yep, that too.
That too.
Bye.